Ukraine security issue.
On the 7th of September, the 196th day of Ukraine's heroic resistance to Russia's full-scale invasion, the General Staff of the Ukrainian Armed Forces reported that over a single day, Ukrainian battle aircraft had launched 27 strikes on Russian munition depots, logistics hubs, control points and concentrations of troops and equipment. Russia's losses over the past 24 hours exceeded 450 personnel and a total of more than 50,500 since the invasion on February 24. Meanwhile, Russia continues to attack peaceful Ukrainian cities, bombarding them with missiles. In the north of Donetsk region, at least 3 civilians remained under the rubble of an apartment building destroyed by a Russian missile. In the small hours of Wednesday, the Russian invaders again targeted villages and towns in the Dnipropetrovsk region. Foreign Minister Dmytro Kuleba has called on the world to support setting up a special tribunal for Russian war criminals. "The crime is before everyone's eyes. Justice must prevail," Kuleba wrote in Twitter following Russian President Vladimir Putin's speech at the meeting of the Eastern Economic Forum in Vladivostok, where he said that Russia had launched the so-called special military operation in Ukraine as a mirror response to Ukraine's actions, which he said posed a potential threat. According to Kuleba, Ukraine initiated a special tribunal in order to prosecute members of Russia's Security Council for the crime of armed aggression. The initiative was supported by the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe, the European Parliament, the NATO Parliamentary Assembly, and the OSCE Parliamentary Assembly. Ukraine will be able to implement the recommendations of the International Atomic Energy Agency on the stabilization and safe operation of the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant only after retaking full control over it, Energy Minister Herman Galushenko said on Wednesday, commenting on the agency's report presented to the UN Security Council. According to Galushenko, almost all participants in the UN Security Council meeting except Russia agreed with the need to demilitarize the station and the surrounding area. In the report, the IAEA stated its readiness to immediately start consultations on establishing nuclear safety and protection zone at the plant. The report also notes that members of the agency's mission confirmed that Russia had deployed military personnel, vehicles and equipment in various locations at the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, as well as the presence of Rosatom representatives there. The IAEA mission to the plant began on September 1st. Most of the inspectors left after a mere 2 hours. At present, two stay there for permanent monitoring on a rotating basis. Ukraine expects from the IAEA real results of the mission, Petro Kotin, president of the state enterprise Energoatom, told Reuters.
The staying of inspectors in there permanently and maybe increase the presence of these inspectors on site would be very beneficial. And I also think that the presence of other organizations, like international organizations, like United Nations, peacekeepers, for example, or other international missions from European Union or other countries would help just to provide independent review of everything what is going there. And finally, to remove this occupiers from the territory of the plant and also to stop this desire from Russia to transfer Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant into military bodies.
As we have reported, the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, the largest nuclear power plant in Europe, was seized by the Russian military on March the 4th. Since then, the invaders have placed military equipment and munition on its premises and have been shelling the surrounding area. The European Union condemns Russia's military activities at and around the plant and calls on it to immediately transfer control over the plant to Ukraine. Meanwhile, the residents of Energodar, where the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant is located, are leaving the city en masse and its personnel are being fired. According to Ukraine's military intelligence, local residents are increasingly trying to flee the temporarily occupied town for the Kyiv-controlled territory. The intelligence suggests that the Ukrainian employees know more about the real situation in the plant and share it with the townspeople, thus provoking mass attempts to escape. The Baltic countries have agreed not to allow Russian citizens to cross their borders even if they have Schengen visas, Latvian Foreign Minister Edgar Rinkevich wrote on Twitter. Exceptions will be made for truck drivers, diplomats and those entering for family and humanitarian reasons. Ukrainian proposals regarding the 8th European Union package of restrictions against Russia were voiced at the meeting of the European Union foreign ministers in Prague last week. One of the restrictions is on the issuing visas to Russians, said the Ukrainian Foreign Minister Dmytro Kuleba.
На треку візових обмежень ми досягнули дійсно
We have made really important progress on the track of visa restrictions. There was a change in position from the total rejection of the idea by skeptics who said that this is Putin's war, not the Russians, so they shouldn't be punished, to their awareness of the necessity of systematic restrictions. But now a lot depends on how the European Commission transforms this political agreement into concrete decisions, and then how systematically all member states of the European Union will implement this decision, said Dmytro Kuleba. The European Commission proposes to completely suspend the European Union-Russia agreement on visa facilitation. This means that citizens of the Russian Federation will face longer and more expensive procedures for obtaining European Union visas, and it will be more difficult to obtain multiple entry visas. The European Commission expects the European Union Council to approve this decision within a week.